Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We ought to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you. Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you. Do some research. Go to websites. Look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
Welcome, listeners, to City on a Hill radio show. Thank you for tuning in to another week with City on a Hill. And we ask that you invite your friends and family throughout the country to come and join us so that you can also come and learn with us. Tell them to go to www.cityonahill.tv. And also, all these programs are recorded, so immediately after the interview, they are on podcast, and you can share them. And today it's going to be on a very important topic, the education of our children. And as always, we like to start things off on the right foundation, and that is cover it in prayer. So I'm going to turn it over to Ms. Barbara to give us some words on history and also to start us off in prayer. Hi, Ms. Barbara.
Hi, Diana. Thank you so much. I'd like to begin today with some words from Noah Webster, who was titled the Father of American Scholarship and Education. And in preparing the first American English Dictionary, which was published in 1828, he learned 26 different languages, and he was a scholar from Yale. He served in the Revolutionary War. He was a student at the time the war broke out. So he really served our country his entire life. He wrote the first history of the United States and many other textbooks for our American children. And he said this. He said, "An attempt to conduct the affairs of a free government with wisdom and impartiality, and to preserve the just rights of all classes of citizens without the guidance of divine precepts will certainly end in disappointment. God is the supreme moral governor of the world he has made, and as he himself governs with perfect rectitude, he requires his rational creatures to govern themselves in like manner. If men will not submit to be controlled by his laws, he will punish them by the evils resulting from their own disobedience. Any system of education, therefore, which limits instruction to the arts and sciences and rejects the aids of religion in forming the character of citizens, is essentially defective. In my view, the Christian religion is the most important and one of the first things in which all children under a free government ought to be instructed. No truth is more evident to my mind than that the Christian religion must be the basis of any government intending to secure the rights and privileges of a free people. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the wisdom from the past that we can learn from. And I pray, Father, that there would be just a rebirth of a desire to learn, Father, to uncover those things which have been hidden, those truths, Father, which have been hidden for so long now in our country, that we would rediscover them, Father, and begin to apply them and to go forward, Father. And Father, that we would defend, be like in the days of Nehemiah, that we would build with one hand and defend with the other, not let any more corruption take place, defending, Lord, what we still have, and yet, Father, uncovering and rediscovering those truths, the timeless wisdom from the past that we can build upon. Help us, O Lord, Father. And we ask that you would be with us now as we talk about these important matters, the important matter of education, what it is and what it's supposed to do, Father. And help us to understand and help us, Lord, then to apply what we learn. Open our eyes, O God, that we might learn of your great truths. We ask your blessing upon our time here. We ask your blessing, Father, upon our country. We ask your blessing, Father, upon our military and their families. We ask for your favor, your mercy, and your loving kindness this day, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Ms. Barbara. And today we have a very important topic and a very important guest. And I just think about education. It really is the most, one of the most important pillars of our society. And Ms. Barbara, I thank God that you point us to the very beginning. This was a nation that feared the Lord, and they raised their children to do the same. And I just think of the John Quincy Adams, you know, the George Washingtons, those that also formed that great Constitution. They were inspired by God, and true exceptionalism was found in their days. And I even remember the words you've taught us about Alexander de Tocqueville. You know, these people were the most literate of their time. How incredible.
Yes.
And that was before the time of the Department of Ed. And I'm just thinking to myself,
that's right.
What have we done? We have went downhill. And people like Miss Betty, you know, she's trying to fight so hard, really, to undo what is being done, because it's moving us away from exceptionalism. And the latest really affront is something called Common Core Standards that's going to make our children college and career ready, but yet it is a dumbing down. So we thank God that Miss Betty is trying to shine the light on this. Hi, Miss Betty.
Hello.
Well,
yeah,
Miss Betty, your work with us. Go ahead, Miss Betty.
I've got this timeline on a poster in my office, and I was just looking at it, and you were talking about how things had changed, and I've got it called Education Timeline, and it shows how we went from the New England Primer to the Common Core State Standards.
What a downfall. What a downfall.
We've been going down the wrong road, and C.S. Lewis said something to the effect that the first one to turn back when they're on the wrong road is the one that gets ahead.
And you're trying to do that for us. And you're with the Alabama State Board of Education, and you have been working for such a long time to really get us back on course. You want Alabama's children to be the best with quality education, and you are seeing problems. But also in talking about the past, Miss Betty, I just, you know, when you think about the likes of, like I said, John Quincy Adams and all those, you know, the that young man was taught by both parents who had a fear and awe of the Lord. And at a young age of 16, he was already, a secretary to the ambassador in Russia, I think. And and he knew of many languages. And these days, it is so, you know, it is so hard. Well, you don't hear of any 16-year-old, first of all, being an ambassador, secretary to the ambassador of Russia. But really, we're seeing, and as we can see in the Wall Street, you know, picket line or whatever you want to call that, a lot of those are really the product of education. And they are not very happy with where this nation is heading. It's almost like, I wonder, are they anarchists sometimes, you know, with the laws they're breaking? But anyway, you're fighting so hard to get us back on the right track.
Do you ever wonder if they've been victims of indoctrination, not education?
Yes. Exactly.
I think you're right. Well, as a matter of fact, I was sharing a web page. It's called Social Justice Based Math. I'm guessing you could put in www.socialjusticemath.blogspot.com. Ms. Betty, you're going to... I don't know what you're going to think of this.
I've seen
that,
but
I'm going to
pull it up now, yeah.
I guess, Ms. Barbara, if you'll put that in, maybe it'll come up that way. But this is a teacher that really, I guess, she did a study of her children in her care. And she is so blown by what she learned about their thinking when she put that social justice context in there on mathematics program, that she thinks that is the wave of the future. And this was done in 2008, and she said unexpected implications of project. She was talking about that one of them, a student, was talking about what they had learned. They were appalled at the cost and had all seemingly come to see it as unjust to the people of Mexico and the people living in the border towns. It was about the immigration. They were using that in part of their math.
Mm-hmm.
And she said she was surprised and gratified by these discussions. And really, they were seeing, let's see, what was it that they were saying that just, well, anyway, they thought it was unfair. I guess the way we're treating immigrants was unfair. And another thing about when she put in the numbers of people being killed in Iraq, they don't understand that, you know, let's see, nobody should be dying that much in something like a war. Because when they see the figures, they say, that's an insane number. And these are, I think, let's see what grades these were. I think she dealt with third graders, fourth graders, fifth graders. But what are your thoughts on that, Ms. Barbara? And then I'll get Ms. Betty.
Well, let's go to Ms. Betty first.
Okay.
Actually,
well, first
the only thing,
Go ahead.
I was going to say the only thing that I want to comment about this is that this is not new. It's very old, and it began with John Dewey and some of them who rebuilt education in this nation on humanism, on evolution, on science, and behaviorism, and naturalism. And what we're seeing with every experiment on our kids is just a further step, a greater step in this direction. And, you know, the social justice is just another step in furthering John Dewey's vision. And, you know, it is a clash. Well, I hope it's still a clash of worldviews. I hope the biblical worldview is still alive and well a bit, but the humanist worldview seems to have just taken over education and law and government and everything. But anyway, let's remember that when we're talking about anything new that we're seeing, it's just a further progress of this worldview that's been going on in our country, in our school system for a long, long time. Betty?
Well, I just wanted to emphasize that social justice does not mean what the words say. You know, words have meanings, and there's a dictionary meaning, but there's also the contemporary meaning of what some of the way something is used today. And I think Dean Gocher, who's been here and spoken in our area before, explaining the Hegel's dialectic, and this gets real deep and I won't go very far with it, he was saying that the person wins who defines the words. And that's the situation we're in now. You know, over the years, words have changed. Gay used to mean one thing, mean something else now. A lot of words have sort of evolved, and they're evolving more rapidly now because they are being embraced for political reasons and distorted. Now, nobody in their right mind would say, I do not want justice. So justice
right.
is a good word. But social justice, the way it's used now, not the way that it's always understood, but the way that it's used now, includes redistribution of property and income and whatever. In other words, it means communism or Marxism. And it is a Marxist term now. It hasn't always been. And when we say we're against social justice, it doesn't mean we're against people having equal justice. That's not what it means. It means we're against this communist system of taking from you and giving to me, and to make it, in somebody's eyes, more just. They may not think it's just that you have a 3,000-square-foot house and I have a 1,000-square-foot house, and there's a person in some third-world country that lives in a tent.
Miss Betty?
So they want to take from the one who has and gives to the have-not. And you remember, from each according to his ability to each according to his needs. That's straight out of Marx.
Betty, don't you remember when sentence, from each according to his ability and give to each according to his need, was put before college graduates, a large number of college graduates in this country, about 10 years ago. And they, most of them thought that that was in the United States Constitution rather than a phrase used by the father of communism, Karl Marx. Remember
well,
that?
I'm surprised they didn't think it was in the Bible. I can remember back in the year 2003 when a professor from the University of Alabama, I think she was in tax law or something, Dr. Susan Pace Hamill, spoke at a little Methodist church here in Dothan. And I asked her, could your philosophy on taxation be summed up by the phrase, from each according to his ability to each according to his need? And she said yes.
Yeah.
And the congregation, I mean, they looked like, what did she just agree to? Now, she was the spokesperson for Amendment 1 of 2003.
Yeah.
Which was that hobbled together bunch of laws, bills, that included all sorts of stuff, plus a lot of tax stuff, and it did fail by about 70% vote, 70 to 30 against it. And they were using pictures of Jesus, looked like Rembrandt engravings of Jesus with the woman caught in adultery, and labeled it the least of these, and she printed up a document. They were giving them out.
Miss Betty, Miss Barbara, I think this example that we were just speaking of is really, I think, is showing the danger of really, bottom line, what national standards is going to mean. When you have people from Washington out of one place, bureaucrats trying to figure out, and a lot of them are going to have their own opinion of things, their own agenda, just like this teacher has her own personal opinion or perspective. You know, this is really the danger of Common Core standards when it's coming from one place.
Yeah, it's a danger of national standards, and that's what Common Core standards are. And they kept claiming it wasn't, but now that nearly all the states have signed on, now they, the other side, they are calling it national standards and national assessments. And there is something in the science framework. I was just looking at it. I didn't print it out, so I can't read it back to you. But it was an assessment problem for the students, and it would have been in high school, and it mentioned something about global warming. It was a problem using global warming. Well, you know, that's getting into political stuff there. That's not hard, sound science. And they haven't even really admitted that we are going to have science and social studies under these common core studies part of the overall initiative.
And we all realize
that when you get into science in America and social studies, you get into a lot of controversy, and this has not been vetted.
Well, this is really dangerous grounds that we're in, and it's really unfortunate that not all parents know about it. But I was really, you know, I heard a high-ranking leader in our state, even in Alabama, Ms. Betty, talked about the way the state board had put this in the news. It's like they were really surprised because they tried to keep up with everything that was in the paper. And it's like, I don't know where they put it in the newspaper and how little the fonts were, you know, and how long it was in the paper. But apparently it was very easily missed by the majority of Alabama's parents.
It was required by this Common Core plan that there be meetings held, public meetings held in the state. And I think there were about four, and they were, I'm not trying to run down newspapers, but they were put in as little one-ad kind of things, classified ads. They would not be online. A lot of people would miss them. They should have put them in the middle of the sports page if they really wanted to get the attention of the guys and some of the women, too. But I don't think many people saw them. Plus, they didn't know what it was about. If they had said, come to the local school, we're having a meeting about taking over, the federal government taking over the schools, I think there would have been a big outcry. But when you say Common Core State Standards and you bury it in a little classified ad, it's no wonder not many people showed up. I think out of the whole state, I don't think any meeting had more than 100. Some of them had about 25 or something. So altogether, probably couldn't possibly be over 500 people. And most of them were people that were traveling with the state to make the presentations. Hardly anybody knew them. I didn't see the ad, and I get the paper, and I read it every day.
And Ms. Betty, that happened in a state where probably, you know, because of your work and Ms. Stephanie Bell, there were more people that really knew. I can't imagine what it was like in other states.
Well, and if somebody lives in Dothan, say you've got people in Dothan that have heard us talking on your program, and they happen to see it in the local paper, how many of them are going to drive to Montgomery for a meeting? It's 6 o'clock. You have to leave at 4. That means most teachers couldn't even hurriedly get to their cars and drive straight to Montgomery. It was not meant to inform. It was meant to have something on a checklist that you could mark off. Yes, we had 4 facilitated meetings.
Well, and it's about the most important. Okay, go ahead, Ms. Betty.
I was going to say, everything is not dreary. We do have some bright spots. One bright spot is on October 7th, State Senator Dick Brubaker and these people, Senators Allen, Beeson, Glover, Schofield, Ward, Wagner, and Representatives Carnes, Henry, Johnson, Long, McClurkin, Moore, and Moore's over in Coffee County, you know, Barry.
Oh,
Harris,
thank God. Yeah.
And Rich. And these were just, I understand from Senator Brubaker, that these were just some he could get up with to start with. There are a lot more people in the legislature that are willing to sign this, but he was trying to get something out really fast. That's a pretty significant number. On October 7th, he wrote the letter on behalf of all these people to Governor Bentley, asking that, he says, "We are writing to encourage you," that's the governor, "to retain complete control over Alabama academic standards, curriculum, instruction, and testing." And then he goes on to say, "We're aware about the Board of Education adopting the Common Core State Standards Initiative on November 18, 2010, and that this initiative is owned and coordinated by the National Governors Association Center for Best Practices and the Council of Chief State School Officers." That's all the state superintendents, you know, in America. "And it defines the knowledge and skills students should have currently in math and English, currently in math and English language arts, with science drafts circulating and social studies next." That's what I was just alluding to. And then he goes on to say, "In spite of the statement from the resolution under which this was adopted, that the Alabama State Board of Education will continue to be the sole and exclusive entity vested with authority to adopt or revoke all academic standards without direct or indirect pressure from the United States government," that was a quote, he says, "it's now clear that the U.S. Department of Education is funding the development of national curriculum guidelines, models, and materials, as well as national assessments based upon the initiative standards, thus creating a national curriculum and testing system. And the U.S. Department of Education is conditioning waivers from legal requirements under No Child Left Behind to adoption of Common Core State Standards and other elements of its education agenda." He says, "Therefore, the Alabama State Board's resolution is being violated. In addition, national standards, curriculum, and assessments are without constitutional or statutory basis." Then he goes on to say, "Transferring power to Washington, D.C., as I've heard both of you talk about, will only further subordinate educational decisions to federal political imperatives. It is about control, not academic excellence." And then he goes on to say, "Alabama wants superior standards of our own choosing. Recent Alabama State Board of Education approved standards, or as we call them, courses of study, already receive high ratings in math, a B+, and English, 1 year it was an A and 1 year it was an A-. That's pretty good, because these are not inflated grades. One of those,
that's
I think
exciting.
It was the A grade, I think it was the A grade for English that we got, was in the top six of the nation as reviewed by Fordham Institute. And he says, "We respectfully ask the State Board of Education to revoke the adoption of the initiative, including its standards, and to refuse any monies tied to this national curriculum." Now, don't you want to give Senator a hand and an amen?
I want to clap
and all
jump up and down.
And all of them that signed on. And I think if we contact our own representatives, I bet you they'll sign on too. That was just the beginning. Had to get the ball rolling. That was just October 7th. I mean, when I opened that up, it came in the mail. And when I opened that up, I thought, oh, my goodness, Senator Brubaker has hit the nail on the head.
It's a miracle. It's a miracle this day.
Yeah, isn't that something? And not only that, this follows on the heels of the National Federation of Republican Women's Conference, which was about, 2 weeks ago maybe, that our own Lois Zena from the AFRW, the Alabama Federation of Republican Women, took a resolution against the Common Core Standards, and it had been embraced by five other states as co-sponsors, and it passed unanimously. That was a national convention. And we've had, 9 or 10 or 11, I'm not sure exactly the number, of county Republican executive committees who have voted for this. Your own Barbara Moore brought a copy and made the motion for it in Houston County, and it passed unanimously. And
Amen.
All of these copies have been sent, of resolutions, have been sent to the state school board members. More and more, I think that there are two more meetings scheduled where they are most likely to adopt this. As far as I know, we're the only state that's been doing this.
Maybe well, Ms. Betty, that is really incredible because, I mean, just from what you've said, Ms. Betty, Ms. Barbara, I just feel like other states that's opening their eyes can look at what Alabama's doing and really draw from that.
Yes, if we could just get our state school board members to reconsider, and some of them, it's not even reconsidering. They never got to vote in the first place. They took office after they were sworn in January. The vote was in November. There were people, about 25 people, I think, spoke. There were more who wanted to speak, asking that the vote be delayed till we got the new governor and three new board members. And they wouldn't delay it. And I do think, knowing the people on the board, because I've gotten to know them, I don't think there's one of them that would have voted that way if they had had all the information. You know, I think y'all know, I read up on stuff. I'm on a bunch of email lists of people involved in education in Alabama and many other states. I'm in contact with state school board members, other areas, and professors. You know, we've had some of them, like Dr. Milgram, Dr. Stotsky. You've had some of the experts. I get information from them. And I didn't know what was going on. I mean, it was a while before I caught on. And I've been to a conference in West Virginia. I don't think the state school board members there really knew what this was about.
Well, Bob Riley's dreamed about this for 5 years. Did I hear that right? He actually said six years,
which would take us back to 2004. And I never heard of it then.
And did I hear he's now going to be a lobbyist in Washington on education? I think that's the latest news.
Yeah. Well, he's going to be a lobbyist for some, I think he's got some clients that he will be going to Washington, D.C. But he told us that day that we voted, and that I believe that was his last school board meeting. I don't think he came in December. And he said that he'd been waiting for this occasion for 6 years. And he said, when asked what was he going to do, he said he was going to take a motorcycle ride to Alaska. And, you know, he did that. And to kind of, you know, just free his mind and just relax. I can understand he's, you know, any governor's under a lot of pressure. But the other thing he said he wanted to do was set up an education and economic development institute modeled after James Hunt's Institute in Raleigh, North Carolina. And that is where a lot of this Common Core State Standard stuff was hatched. You just look on the website for that group and see all the people that are involved in it. It's like the left of American education.
Now, with Common Core Standards, they're going to require new and very, very expensive technology in a major way.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if those that have been so adamant pushing for it are involved in that technology, the sale of that technology in some way, like the James Hunt Educational Institute in Raleigh, North Carolina. Maybe we need to have some investigation into that.
Listen, you are ahead of yourself. There's a man named Terry Stoop, S-T-O-O-P, works with the John Locke Foundation and the Carolina Journal, and he had an article. This is a, you know, a think tank. It's a very respected think tank. He had an article about how former Governor Jim Hunt had some kind of quid pro quo deal with an entity called WireGen, Wireless Generation. WireGen is mentioned in some documentation I see occasionally They're one of the vendors, and I believe Rupert Murdoch has purchased 90% of their stock. But a while back, while Hunt was not governor, since he stepped down from governor, he had something going on where they got a grant and bought these wireless gen handheld devices, and it went to Title I schools or something. So, yeah, there's a lot of creative stuff that can go on that will not pass the smell test. I don't know how that hasn't turned into a really big story on Hunt, but it was a while back, a year or two ago.
Who will be lobbying?
Never hit mainstream media.
Who, Betty, who here in our state will be lobbying the state board and Governor Bentley to keep those standards? Where does the Department of Education, the Alabama Department of Education, come in? Where does the state... And the state school board superintendent and I've heard that Dr. Elliott has been hard to convince that these Common Core standards are really bad. And then there was one Mary something up
Mary
in Huntsville.
I can understand their plight because these are both new board members. They came in, it was already done. All they have heard is praise. And you can take facts out and show them and opinions and make things sound good. And if all you listen to is the State Department of Ed and the U.S. Department of Ed, what do you think you're going to hear?
Miss Betty, I have a question or really a comment about Dr. Elliott, because I looked at his website, and I know the most important thing to him really was about parental. Let's see, it says, as a state, Alabama must, and it's under issues on his webpage, he says, never forget that parents are the first and most important teachers a child has. Families need to be strengthened, and parents must be involved in the education of their children. Now, that is his priority amongst the other listing, you know.
And I know him enough to say he is sincere in that. He just does not see what the Common Core State Standards Initiative entails. He just hasn't seen it. If he can see it, he'll vote with us.
I'm sorry, Ms. Betty, I don't understand this. Now, as broad as he is, and even Mary Scott Hunter, how can they miss the fact that this is going to take away the authority of the local school board, really the parental input through the local school boards? Do they not understand that part of it?
No, they do not understand it. We have been assured that this would not affect the local school systems. If you access my website, which is not real easy to access, but WTVY did an interview with me and a simultaneous interview with Dr. Morton, and Dr. Morton said, no, it's not going to have any effect on local school boards. And the reporter said, oh, but I understand there are one or two prominent people in this movement that want to do away with local school boards. No. And then she pulls out the December 08 article in the Wall Street Journal or New York Times. I think it was Wall Street Journal that was from the CEO Emeritus of the Achieve group. Achieve was created by the National Governors Association. It is like a child of the National Governors Association, heavily involved in all of this. And the man's name is Lou Gerstner. Years ago, he was the CEO of IBM. And his letter, and it's readily available on the Internet, said... that he thought we needed to do away with all local school boards, that they had been the source, they had been the impediment to having true reform, that he'd been working for real reform in education for 30 or 40 years, and the local school boards stood in the way. And we should replace them with 10, T-E-N, 10 local school boards and 20 regional ones or something like that. And the reporter showed that. I mean, I don't know if Dr. Morton just doesn't keep up with the details or what, you know. That sure sounded like one very prominent person was attacking local school boards, another prominent person, and I'm sure Mrs. Moore knows this name, is Mark Tucker. And there's something very similar that he wrote back in the, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago, where he attacked local school boards. They don't want local and state school boards getting in the way.
Yeah, this goes all the way back to Hillary and Mark Tucker and their plan to take over education. That was in the 90s.
Yes, and it was 94, goes 2000. And Mark Tucker, if you don't mind, I would like to address something that I don't think anybody's talked about. It's fairly new discovery, although it's been right under our nose. Mark Tucker, when Bill Clinton was elected president in late 1992, not long after the election, Mark Tucker wrote to Hillary, and it was, I think it's frequently called the notorious 17-page letter to Hillary, and that was read in the Congressional Record. You can find it on the National Eagle Forum website on the front page. You can Google it, 17-page letter from Mark Tucker to Hillary. You can find it. Anyway, he outlined his plan that he wanted Hillary to help him get Bill Clinton to implement, and they did it. It was called Goals 2000. And the second layer of it was School to Work, and then to make it sound better, a year or so later, they changed the name of it to School to Careers. And that is very much what we're going to get with the Common Core standards. And there's a group, an entity called SCOBES. That doesn't spell anything. That's just an acronym. And I first heard of it over a year ago, but I didn't understand what it was. Like I said, it doesn't mean we're stupid. It's just we're not getting very much information. And this was from, I'm looking at a document, from the National Center on Education and the Economy, NCEE. That is the employer of Mark Tucker, and it has been for years. And it was started by Carnegie Foundation, which is one of the very, shall we say, left-leaning private foundations in America. And this is the brief prospectus for a state consortium on board examination systems. They abbreviated that to SCOBES, S-C-O-B-E-S, for State Consortium on Board Examination System. So this is the third assessment group. The other two have equally confusing names, PARCC and SBAC. I mean, the public can't keep up with this. It's just a bunch of alphabet soup. I can't keep up with it.
And purposefully so. They do it to keep it under the radar screen.
Yeah. Anyway, Mark Tucker did not get the regular race to the top money that the other two big consortia got. They got 300-something million dollars to develop tests, and that was just from them. I'm sure they got more money elsewhere. And so these two groups are working in tandem, PARCC and SBAC, and states have lined up to be Tier 1 members or Tier 2 members. I'm just calling it Tier 1 and Tier 2. They've got some fancy name for it, like governing and participating. Alabama was put into both groups by our former state school superintendent, and we haven't made a decision on which one to go with. Well, it doesn't matter. It's Tweedledum and Tweedledee. I've even heard that they'll probably merge at some point. But there's a pretense of not having a monopoly when you've got two, you know, instead of one. Not much of a, you know, not much difference. Then this third group is starting to come up. We first heard of it, not with the name SCOBS, but with the term ACT Quality Core. Well, I found out that ACT Quality Core is part of SCOBS. And it says using board examination systems to get to international standards and greatly improve student performance at a very reasonable cost. Did you hear that? International standards. My little chart that I use for my little talk, at the bottom it says global education for global citizens. Isn't that what international education is? If you wonder why there's a de-emphasis on the Founding Fathers, on the Constitution, on the Declaration of Independence, on any of that stuff, on American history, real American history, positive American history, why there is a de-emphasis on Western civilization, where those concepts came from, you know, along with the Bible, the, you know, what we learned from the Greeks and Romans and all that was, you know, modeled in there. You know, our whole Western civilization is going down the toilet.
And I guess that's why they really, these people really doesn't care about parental rights, because sovereignty does not matter to them. It's all about, like you were saying, being global citizens. And that's why it's very important for parents really to be calling their school board members, their legislators, because this is just really horrible. And I still
You know who's waking
that?
Up? It's the local school boards and superintendents. Stephanie Bell's been giving some talks, and the last one she went to, it was more of a town hall. It wasn't Republican or Democrat or Tea Party. It was more of a, just a town hall thing with a panel. And she said they had some local education folks there that were terrific. They were beginning to hear about it. It's not that they're bad people. They, like the state school board, have been kept in the dark. They're only hearing stuff like, well, if your grandchild moves from California to Fort Rucker, they'll have the same book, be on the same page, and they won't skip a beat. It'll be so much easier. And they'll hear that, well, we can compare Massachusetts with Alabama and, you know, California and Vermont.
Well, I expect more out of the state board, so, Ms. Betty, and I know that, I mean, I can believe that of some of them, but I can't believe it of, you know, every one of them. I thank God for you and Stephanie Bell, but I just think to myself, you know,
well,
when you use the
quote of... Diane, you've been following this longer than our new state school board members have, and I am sure from hearing your interviews, you've been exposed to many more voices and viewpoints than they have. And, I mean, I wish they could all just, we could lock them in a room, strap them in, and make them listen to your shows.
Well,
we could give popcorn
and
Coke. But, I mean, you have had a wealth of information from outside Alabama. Coming, you know,
that's true, Miss Betty. We have me and Miss Barbara. Yeah. But now, Miss Betty, I just think I like Lou Campo Menezes' campaign on common sense, or common sense campaign.
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking to myself, as a public official, state board member, you are going to put forth a system that's been untried, not proven to be true. And basically, you know, it could take away the parental rights. I think I would be digging in. And if you were to start digging in, you would see the articles that's been put out by, you know, Congressman Klein. You would see the articles that they're putting out about Pearson Foundation and the free trips that overlap with commercial purposes.
Pearson's not a foundation so much as it's a private company. you know, it's a for-profit company.
Betty?
Yeah.
You know, you mentioned global education for global citizenship, and we've seen this push for quite some time now. And some years ago, we discovered at the Center for Civic Education in Washington, D.C., which was being funded by the United States Congress.
And there's one in each state also.
Yes, yes. And they disseminate textbooks, and
mm-hmm.
they are indoctrinating our American students in this global citizenship. And the civics books that they use, they're in all our schools. When I went back to teach in private school, private Christian school, a couple of years ago, they were using that book. In my absence, they had ordered it, and they were using that book, which was terrible. Yeah, I cannot tell you how wrong
you,
the information was.
Remember, you showed this to me. And it's
I'm
more,
sorry?
I said, you have shown me that book. Remember, you loaned it to me several years ago, and I went through it because I was very concerned about it. And many times, it's not outright lies. It's so many omissions. And the inference that you get from it is that there are very important elements about American history and American government that are completely left out, which leaves the student with a opposite view of what really happened.
Well, they're really pushing the social justice issue in the civics books that that every state in the country is using, and they're pushing the social justice issue in every subject, not just civics. Not just what used to be taught as history and but social studies.
What is that social justice math?
Social justice math, absolutely. Yeah. They are getting this mindset into the minds of our children, and so you know we wonder why our children can graduate from high school and college and yet. Have this really lack of understanding about our basic founding principles and the Constitution, the Declaration and Constitution, the Founding Fathers, and they have simply learned what they've been taught, and so you know what you're showing us though with Dick Brubaker, Senator Brubaker. And the others that have signed on in the legislature to lobby the state school board, Governor Bentley, and then what's happening with the Federation of Republican Women and the local Republican executive committees, and some things are happening. We can change this if we take back control. We've lost a lot of control already. We truly have. It's going to take a lot to get it back, but I think parents would be willing to do it, desiring to do it.
I've got a slogan. You want to hear my slogan? I just thought of it. You just made me think of it.
Good.
Take back America one classroom at a time.
Woo! I love it. I love it.
I mean, it's kind of like the... saying the same thing, sort of, that Abraham Lincoln supposedly said about what's taught in the classroom of today will be practiced in the government of the next generation. And I think that has always been true. You know, if you go back to Hitler, you know, everybody wants to look at Hitler and Castro, but, I mean, it's everywhere. The dictators, the first thing they go for is the children.
Hey, by the way. The students are not only not learning about our founding fathers, but strangely enough, they're not even learning about Adolf Hitler. Many of the people interviewed at the Wall Street protest they've never ever heard of Adolf Hitler.
Do you think they know who Bob Dylan was? I'm not trying to put down Bob Dylan, but, you know, they probably, I think they want to be hippies, see? And they would love to have Bob Dylan come play with them. But I bet you if you talk to Bob Dylan today, he's probably moved over towards the right somewhat.
He probably has.
Well, Miss Billy, while we have a few more minutes, and I hope we can go over and keep you a little bit longer, but I know you've got other things you need to do. But
well, can I read one other thing that I just saw that emphasizes
sure.
this is from that document that apparently they're trying to sort of sneak in on the Alabama State School Board. But once it's got in here about these forthcoming Common Core standards for the board examinations, it says when Singapore set out to produce the most successful school system in the world, they contracted with the University of Cambridge International Examinations to build a customized version of the Cambridge O-level curriculum and exams. Now, this Scobes group offers these Cambridge exams. They have exams for international baccalaureate, they claim. And they say, by adopting these exams, a state would leap right through national standards to international standards.
No.
Does that not jump out to you and have a ring to it? I'm going to repeat that. By adopting these exams, and this was in this particular consortium is mentioned in an attachment we got, the assessment committee got in the last few days. This particular group, but they didn't say this, of course, says by adopting these standards, a state would leap right through national standards to international standards.
Wow.
These exams have all the power that comes from fully integrated, highly aligned, very powerful instructional systems, something no state currently has the capacity to produce for itself. Then they go on to wind up and saying they're talking about two instructional systems where one of them is set of international exams to be taken by students at age 16, roughly at the end of the sophomore year. And if they pass, they can go to a two-year college with open admission. How about that?
Well, Ms. Betty, let me go ahead and ask this, because I want this to be part of the program. When you were on the interview with Martha Roby, and she was talking about a solution, and you were saying that you really didn't think that was going to work, can you go
over
what
waiver?
You were talking about?
You're talking about the waivers. Okay, No Child Left Behind, which came in under with George Bush with plenty of assistance from Teddy Kennedy, that had some ridiculous achievement goals. It was like all children will make, you know, high proficiency by the year, I think it's 2014. Well, it didn't sound so bad when they came up with that in 2002 because that was a far way off. But, see, we're getting caught in it now, and the states are not making the what they call adequate yearly progress. So until the education law called ESEA, more alphabet soup, until the next education law gets passed by Congress, we're still under that No Child Left Behind law. And to avoid that, states can ask for a waiver from the Secretary of Education, Arne Duncan. I mean, he's putting that out for them. But to get the waiver, you've got to embrace all the Common Core state standard stuff. So it's like we'll make exceptions if you'll do our bidding. And so they're doing that. They shouldn't have to. These are not little red ribbons tied onto the waivers. These are heavy chains. And they don't have the right to do that. They don't have the authority to do that. And I wish I had the letter, I don't have it in front of me, from Senator Rubio, brilliant, brilliant letter chastising Arne Duncan, Secretary of Education, for putting strings on these waivers, that they should give the just wave it, you know, give everybody a waiver. You shouldn't have to do anything.
That's like jumping out of the frying pan to go directly into the fire.
Yes, there are people in Alabama that want to do this. There are people across the nation that think it's wonderful. It's the same people that would sell their birthright for a bowl of porridge. You know, just get me out of this for right now. I won't worry about what's coming tomorrow. And that's what I'm concerned about. And unfortunately, Senator Rubio's letter did not get the publicity that it should have.
Let's get a hold of it again. And
I'll get it for Diana, and she can put it on your website. I'll get her a link for this thing I was quoting today, which I just found. It's like digging around for Easter eggs out at a farm. I mean, you know, you find one egg at a time, but, you know, the eggs are all going to be rotten by the time we find all of them.
Hey, y'all.
Yeah.
The Alabama Federation of Republican Women has a super, super fantastic website here with against the Common Core Standards.
Really?
And it's talking about tactics being used to train students to be Democrats. And what is social justice? It teaches children that America is an unjust and oppressive society that should be changed. They give examples about social justice and math that the leftists have woven this through, the math curriculum that our children are being indoctrinated in, and so forth. They give examples from the Iraq War. The kids are required to calculate the costs of the war, both in dollars and human costs, and determine if the costs are worth it. These are children that are being told to do this.
Barbara, that's
what's
on
that website?
Social Justice Math.
Yes. Okay.
What's that website, Ms. Barbara?
It is. It was the first one that actually came up. It's National Common Core Standards and Leftist Propaganda.
That is another tool.
Yeah.
National Common Core
wonderful.
Standards and Leftist. Okay. I think they quoted that social justice article because I think those were the wording. It's something to do with the Iraq War, too. That was using that socialjusticemath.blogspot. But, Ms. Betty, I want to, you know, Ms. Donna Garner is one of those that I know that you talk to a lot, get a lot of emails, and her push has been to defund, and she was stressing that we really need to do it as soon as possible or get the House of Representatives to go on record, and it's also, she was really concerned about the assessments coming out, the national assessments, and how that's going to be hard to weed out, she said.
That's why if we can stop, rescind the vote that we had last November, that was just for the standards. If we can rescind that and not proceed down the path, the next stage is the assessment. And back to Senator Brubaker's last sentence, he says, revoke the adoption of the standards and refuse any monies tied to this national curriculum. Well, if Congress would quit funding anything, then the states can't receive it, you know?
That's right.
The House, isn't it? Barbara, you're the history person, the government person. Isn't the House where the bills that affect taxes, money, you know, funding? Isn't it where that happens? It has to be in Congress. So, I feel confident that our congressman has learned some more about that and will work with us on that. I know Congressman Roby will do that. It's just a case of, like everybody else, we have been fighting health care, a cap and trade, you know, the takeover of the banks, the cash for clunkers. Poor old Congress has been hit with one thing after another, just as we have been on the state school board. And sometimes you just miss some of it.
Yeah, yeah. That's right.
Well, I hope that they'll listen.
Well, she will listen. I know she will. And she'll be working with us, and we just need to get – I know Congressman Baucus has already written a great letter, and we've all been so wrapped up in all this stuff that, you know, it's just hard to stay on top of it.
And to Miss Betty, when you have somebody like former Governor Bob Riley – who's going to do everything he can to push this through, you know, there is going to be a fight. There's going to be lines drawn. And so we're hoping that the one that's really for the future generation and the parents' right, you know, over their children's education, that they will win. But it's going to take you parents to please pass this on, because most of America is too hung up on health care, which is very important, among other things, jobs and all that. But really, this is their prize, isn't it, Ms. Barbara, Ms. Betty? The children's mind is their prize.
Well, we're like a juggler with a bunch of balls, and we have to keep juggling and not drop any of them. And I am afraid we have dropped the education ball, and we've just got to get it back up, that we can do it. I want to ask all of your listeners right now if they would not promise to be praying for our schools, for the state school board in Alabama, and wherever they're listening from, for their schools, for Congress, that the truth will come out. You know, we've been told that the truth will make us free, and we will be free if we have the truth, and it's only going to come through God. This is too complicated for us to do by ourselves. It's too complex, but I know for a fact there have been a lot of prayers on this, and the people have told me they're praying for me. And we need to pray for all of our representatives. We need to pray for our teachers, for the superintendents, for the principals, for the reading coaches. I mean, all of them, because they don't know what's about to hit them. Some of them do. But if they thought No Child Left Behind was bad, they are going to really be upset when they find out what all this is. And I found what Barbara was talking about. It's a very interesting looking graphic, and it's the AFRW.org. If they look there, it will come right up, and it says, "Your teacher said what?" You know, the National Common Core Standards. Or "Your teacher said what?" Another great website is truthinamericaneducation.com, all lowercases, no hyphens, no underlines, truthinamericaneducation.com. And that one has about the longitudinal databases with the privacy concerns. Congressman Quine, head of the House Education and Workforce Committee, wrote Arne Duncan over a year ago, I think it was February of 2010, and expressed his concerns over the privacy laws being violated. I don't know if he ever got any answers. This has not come anywhere near reaching the surface. Parents do not know. I do not know what's going to be on the computers collected for Alabama children, but I have seen what some of the stuff is going to be collected in Missouri, and I don't think Missouri's all that different from Alabama.
Betty, wow. I went on some math websites, the Houghton Mifflin and some of the other ones, and what they're offering there for students to practice on their math, and they say so that they can, and their scores can be tracked, so they can keep up with it, and their scores can be tracked. They are being tracked on these websites.
Yeah. You know what they call that? It's a name for it. Data mining. And they say you have to drill, get down.
Yeah.
And they are also going to be tracking the teachers. And one thing is their attitudes. The teachers' attitudes.
Mm-hmm.
And social justice is mentioned on many, many, many four-year colleges' goals, you know, their mottos. Someone a few years ago just did a Google search on various Alabama universities and put the name of the university and, quote, social justice, and practically every one of them had a motto, and that is coming from a group called NCATE, N-C-A-T-E, and that's a teacher's group, and I don't know that when teachers embrace this, if they have a clue what it is. I don't think they do. Now, there's some of them that would, but this is radical, and I don't think the Alabama or even the American teacher, the average teacher, is not a radical. But they're going to monitor it, and that's
going
to be part of...
Well, I think the teachers have been indoctrinated, just as the students have, through professional development and from their four-year classes, the NEA, you know, they are radical groups, and they do indoctrinate other teachers. I remember being told that the Alabama Education Association was one of the major components, one of the essential parts of the National Education Association, and they are radical. They are totally radical.
Well,
so I think
a
lot of
teachers
have been indoctrinated.
The agenda for the NEA, and I don't know about the AFT, I haven't kept up with it, but the NEA is covered every year, their convention, it's usually in August. The education reporter from Eagle Forum, and anybody can look at it for free. Every year they have a report from somebody who covers the NEA conventions, and most of the stuff, their little resolutions they pass, most of them have to do with non-academic things, and they do have stuff like these attitudes and all in there, the social justice and all. And there are many teachers in Alabama who don't go along with that at all, but as long as they pay their dues, you know, and as long as the AEA does not differentiate itself from the NEA, you know, like, I don't think Dr. Hubbard believes that kind of stuff. But does he differentiate himself from it? I don't know. Are they distancing themselves? I don't really think so. And until they do, they're going to be lumped in the same category.
And to Miss Betty, we have many good teachers who doesn't know what's down the road, but it does look like if this is not changed, they're going to be forced to teach to the test. And,
I want to let y'all know
is radical.
That I personally have been hearing from some teachers. It's not a group of them. It's just one here, one there, one there. And they think like we do.
Good.
And I understand there's some superintendents and local school board members that once they are hearing about it, it's slow coming out. They don't like it either. So
it may
turn out to be like that Amendment 1 in 2003, where there were yard signs and ads and everything else about Amendment 1. But when it came time for people to vote, it went down, you know, like a dud. And if the people and the local school boards don't get to vote on this, but they can contact their state school board members, and they can contact their legislators about the funding, and they can contact their congressmen and senators about the funding. But the best point of contact right now is getting up with the state school board members. And, you know, it wouldn't hurt a bit if the State Department of Ed folks got a little heat also. They need to know that people are concerned. And the governor's concerned. but it doesn't hurt to let him know how concerned each one of you is.
Mm.
We
well,
all
it
like
sounds like
to
we
hear.
Need to be making
we,
phone calls.
Yeah. They don't really have to talk to me and Stephanie Bell, but I think everybody else needs phone calls or emails. And the emails, you don't have to copy some great John Hancock kind of person. Just put it in your own words, two sentences, you know, three sentences. Just be frank, like you're talking to me right now. That's all it takes to let these people know. And they just need to know that they have been misled.
Well, we're going to pray for them, Ms. Betty. I agree. This we're going to have to give it to God. But it is so encouraging, that thing that you were talking about from Dick Brubaker is one of the most encouraging things, because...
Isn't it?
I
you want to post
hear,
it on
I
your website?
It. Please, we need to, because I'm thinking these people are going to run for re-election, and it sounds like they are going to put up a fight against the Common Core. So thank the Lord for that we have people that's already waking up.
I've talked to some of the local legislators around the Dothan area, and they are catching on, and they want to know more. I think if they were voting, they'd vote against the Common Core. I really do.
Mm.
But they hadn't had a chance to vote.
Yeah.
Obligating them to put into a very slim budget all sorts of extra stuff. And it wouldn't be so bad if we thought this was really going to work. But if it's going to make things worse or just keep it status quo as far as actually improving children's learning, why do we want it?
Mm-hmm. And parents are the best help, and you certainly don't need to take away their input, which is what I'm very much, you know, to me, that's my foundational problem with this. Don't take away the parental input.
Let's go back to 2 + 2 and 5 × 5 and all that, and let's don't put all this other stuff in there. Let's just teach math, plain old math. Arithmetic.
If their mind is being filled with all that other stuff, and then there's testings, what time do they have to perfect their math practices, you know?
That's right.
They don't
That's
have.
Right. But y'all don't give up. I think we're about to turn a corner, and it could very well be like dominoes.
Oh, I'm excited, you know, Ms. Betty. You have encouraged us. Well, you've been keeping
at
this, Ms. Betty.
All things are possible.
Yes. And you certainly have persevered, and you've dug. And Truth in American Education, that has it all. It's got all the costs. You need to present it to your county or your state if you're in another state, because other states need to be involved. This is a national fight, really, to me, for parental rights, for parental
input.
That's
a national website. The person that posts the things on there is from Washington State. So we are
the only good thing
about this being national standards is if somebody in one state gets the truth out, it's easy to get it to the other states, because it's in every state. Well, maybe not Texas and the ones that didn't pass it, but none of this is unique to one state. So
a little bit of information
we get out is valuable for every one of the states.
Right. Well, Ms. Betty, I'm going to go ahead and pray and close us in prayer, but I'd like for us, Ms. Betty, for you to be a part of a citizen forum. We'll try to have it at night. And we'll try to get people to help us out with a chat, you know, if they have questions. But like to do this one night when you're not too busy, and have a citizen forum online, and just let's all let you experts talk and maybe get some questions. But anyway, I'm going to go ahead and close it. Thank you for your hard work, Ms. Betty. And
thank you. Be praying for us this week. We've got three meetings.
I'm going to pray for you right now. I'm going to pray for Ms. Barbara. Do you want to close in prayer, or do you want me to close in prayer?
No, I'd like for you too, Diana. And, Betty, I do thank you so much for being on with us. It's always such a pleasure. We always learn so much. God bless you.
I learned from y'all too. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Betty. Well, dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much, Lord, that you are such an amazing God. Lord, we just thank you how you worked in men's souls, women's souls. And, Lord, we are so grateful that we live here in the United States of America and that we have the freedom to speak, still, Lord, to speak about truth. And we just thank you, Lord, for Miss Betty and, Lord, how you have said, Lord, choose you leaders that fear God. And we thank you, Lord, that because of her fear and awe or love for you, Lord, that she understands that your ways are better than man's ways. And, Lord, man has tried to make things better in his own estimation, but we fail. And this is the latest trend, Lord, is just to really take away the input and the authority that parents have over their children, the rearing of their children. And, Lord, we stand against it, and we thank you for Miss Betty for standing against it and for allowing the truth to be heard, for, Lord, doing her homework and sharing, and, Lord, that we can all grow with her and multiply in the numbers as she's just now sharing. Lord, we're just so grateful for Dick Brubaker and every one of those, Lord, that signed, Lord, Heavenly Father, on this so that the tide can be turned, Lord. We thank you for this opportunity also to have a Martha Roby, Lord, that is very much concerned about the future of education because she too, Lord, is concerned for her own family's future. And, Lord, we thank you for all the parents and grandparents that's listening. We pray that you'd embolden them to speak out, to share the truth, share this podcast, share this website with other people. And Ms. Donna Garner, Lord, how she says, each one teach one, Lord. Let us do this thing, Lord. Let us honor you and your ways and turn this nation back to you, Lord, Heavenly Father, that we can be parents again, grandparents again to our children. And we pray that you'd have mercy on us and the way that the young people have been reared, Lord, that we will allow for things to be put in that will make a correction, Lord, back to the right foundation, Lord, of truth, not of an agenda, Lord, Heavenly Father. Not just one agenda, Lord, but many agendas that are going to be put in their minds. We just stand against it, Lord. We thank you for Miss Betty, Miss Stephanie Bell, and others across this nation that are standing, Lord, Heavenly Father, in the gap. Lord, Heavenly Father, we just thank you. And we ask, Lord, that you continue to order Miss Betty's steps, continue to enlarge her territory, that more people across the state and across this nation would hear the truth, Lord, that she willingly shares. And, Lord, we just pray for the Mary Scott Hunter. We pray for the Dr. Elliott, Lord, who said, Lord, what they truly care about. They have spoken it, and I pray that they will remember that, Lord. They would remember their charge. They have been charged, Lord, with the future generation's education. And, Lord, we know that the parent's input is very important. And I pray that they would remember that. And, Lord, that everything else will take a back seat in their mind when they focus back on the truth, Lord. So we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity that the people are going to have to be able to call the Dr. Elliott's and Mary Scott Hunter's and other in their local, in their state school boards, Lord, throughout this nation. We pray that you'll urge them to call their state school boards, to call their legislator. Lord, Heavenly Father, just as Ms. Betty has given us the good news of people making a difference, Lord, people have spoken up to these legislators, and they're now making a stand. They have now been informed the truth. They, too, are parents, Lord, and they realize the importance of parents in the lives of the children. And that's what made this nation great, as Ms. Barbara, Lord, has shared with us. And in history, Lord, we thank you that our history is written, it's recorded in Congress, that you ordered the steps of our leaders that we can remember. And we pray that more of that history, the truth, will be shared, Lord, to save us in these times of trouble, Lord, to bring us back to the saving knowledge, Lord, Heavenly Father. We thank you, and we ask these things, Lord. We praise you for what you're doing right now in Miss Betty's life and Miss Stephanie Bell and all the others. We thank you, and in Jesus' mighty name, we ask this, Lord. Amen. And Miss Barbara, would you mind closing?
Oh, I'd love to. Thank you. I will part with the parting words of President Andrew Jackson. He said, "You have the highest of human trust committed to your care. Providence has showered upon this favored land blessings without number and has chosen you as the guardians of freedom to preserve it for the benefit of the human race. May he who holds in his hands the destinies of nations make you worthy of the favors he has bestowed and enable you with pure hearts and hands and sleepless vigilance to guard what he has committed to your keeping." Thank you for joining us today on City on a Hill radio show. May the Lord bless you and keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. Bye-bye.